direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
Very thankful that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of Linden United Reformed Church, and today on Abounding Grace Radio, I thought I would take up the subject of preaching. What is preaching that is done in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power? I have this title today for what I'm giving here and delivering over the radio is Nicely Forgotten Preaching. Whatever happened to declarative authority? T. David Gordon, in his book, Why Johnny Can't Preach, states in the introduction that 30% at best of preachers today are able to deliver even a mediocre sermon. That is a tough statistic. In fact, I would encourage you to get this book, Why Johnny Can't Preach, by T. David Gordon, as he goes through and shows what has happened to the state of American evangelical preaching. But so he says at the beginning of the book, at best, 30% of preachers are able to deliver even a mediocre sermon. Even if one chooses to disregard that statistic as just another black eye given by the many writers who are presently beating on the American church, still, has any thought been given, assuming that statistic is true, as to what such a problem creates in the expectations of those who come to church on a given Sunday? What if the statistic were 35, 40, or even 50? The answer to this, if honest, is a painful one. Very few would know how to recognize preaching that is done in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. In this connection, I can't help but think of Christ's words to the multitudes concerning John the Baptist. He's always one of the most fascinating characters to me in the New Testament. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. There was something about the way John preached the kingdom of God, clearly and notably different than the preaching the people had been accustomed to hearing. This is a crucial, crucial point. There was something different about John the Baptist's preaching. There was something about the voice itself. It searched, it penetrated, it convicted, it killed, it made alive, all with the goal of increasing the testimony of God concerning his Son in the hearts of those who had the ability to hear. It was precisely John's peculiarity of message, style, tone, authority, and delivery that made him stand out to the multitudes as someone recognizable as a prophet from God in their midst. Imagine, my friends, how we might feel today if the following questions were inspired for us. What did you attend church last Sunday to see? A man with earthly suggestions? But what did you go to hear? A man speaking nice things? Indeed, those who speak like that are coaches and motivational speakers. But what did you go to see and hear? A man sent by God to deliver his law and his gospel? You see, this is a fascinating connection here. Because in that very connection, I can't help but think of Christ's words to the multitudes there, and even what the multitudes recognized about his preaching in Matthew chapter 5 through 7 in the Great Sermon on the Mount. The king of preachers was, of course, Christ himself. What was the listener response to the most famous sermon ever delivered, the Sermon on the Mount? This is what we read in Matthew chapter 7 at verse 28 and 29. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Boy, that is just a really important verse. There was something notably different about the teaching and preaching of Jesus Christ. What does it say? It's interesting, the word the Spirit chose to convey the response of the multitudes to Christ's preaching. The word generally translated amazed. It says there, and so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished, amazed at his teachings. Generally translated astonished, amazed, it really is much stronger in the original. It means that they were struck with astonishment, overwhelmed to the point of bewilderment. You know, you could even give a loose translation in the following manner. And so it was, when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were blown out of their minds at his teaching. You ever felt that? If a servant is sent by Christ himself, shouldn't it come in the same sort of demonstration of the Spirit and of power? Shouldn't it have the same sort of effect that it blows our minds when we hear it? We hear very little heavenly preaching today, right? What was it that particularly struck the people with this kind of astonishment about the teaching of Jesus, or even about the preaching and teaching of John the Baptist? Well, I'll tell you what it was. It was his notable and expressed authority in delivering the truth. In other words, his teaching drove people to a response. It was so convicting that they had no other choice but to be blown out of their minds. They could not remain neutral after hearing teaching like this. They either fell before him or further hardened themselves in unbelief. That is declarative authority. At the time of the Protestant Reformation, there was a recovery of what they felt had been so lost, biblical expositional preaching of the Word of God. Here at the Linden United Reformed Church, we are committed to continue that wonderful tradition of preaching the whole counsel of God in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. We would love to have you be a part of our fellowship. The greatest need of our day is bold and unashamed proclamation of the truth. Join us at the Linden United Reformed Church. Jesus's teaching was different, and everyone knew it. It struck the people with astonishment. It was his notable and expressed authority in delivering the truth. In other words, his teaching, and this is so important today, his teaching drove people to a response. It was so convicting, they had no other choice but to be blown out of their minds. They could not remain neutral after hearing teaching like this. They either fell before him or further hardened themselves in unbelief. This kind of authority is set in direct contrast to the religious leaders whose speaking was recognizably this worldly. Christ's preaching was done in the demonstration of the Spirit and power, and everyone knew it. Everyone knew it. It was unlike the conventional contemporary preaching of the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders. This is a really important point today. You know, in historic Protestantism, it has been common over the years to speak of the marks of a faithful church. And those three marks being the pure preaching of the gospel, the right administration of the sacraments, and church discipline. Those were the marks by which you could identify whether a church was true or not. I like to pose the question, then, what are the marks of true preaching? William Perkins, he was the father of Elizabethan Puritanism, once said, there really are two key marks of true preaching. And I want to read this. This is from way back in the 1600s. But listen to this statement. Ministers must preach God's word in evidence and demonstration of the Spirit of God. For he that is God's angel, the Spirit of that God must speak in him. Now, to speak in the demonstration of God's Spirit is to speak in such plainness and yet such a powerfulness as that the capacities of the simplest may perceive. First, plainness. For, whereas the unlearned man perceives his faults discovered, it follows necessarily he must needs understand. And if an unlearned man understands it, then consequently it must be plain. Second, powerfulness, in that his conscience is so convicted, his secret fault so disclosed, and his very heart ripped up that he says, certainly God speaks in this man. This is the evidence and demonstration of God's Spirit. Now, let me unpack that a bit because it's a really amazing statement. The marks emphasized by Perkins cannot be underestimated. All preaching should be so plain and full of such authority, power, that the listener is not left neutral. Like it or not, the hearer has just been confronted by God himself through the voice, and in the process, his secret sins have been so exposed and his conscience so confronted that the only proper response will be either a rejection of what is heard or a recognition that God himself is speaking through that man to the humbling of the hearer before the Lord. Now, I wonder how foreign such a description of preaching is for most American churchgoers. I state this recognizing how insufficient my own preaching is. Nevertheless, such weaknesses should not prevent honest evaluation as to what true preaching should be, scripturally speaking. As I sit and listen to sermons given by many ministers today, I often like to probe listener response to what has been preached. It's a tragedy, of course, when immediately after the service, churchgoers talk about everything else under the sun rather than the spiritual truths just delivered that have the power to save their souls from death. But we shouldn't be too quick today to blame the hearers. After most sermons today, the general response is that it was a comforting or a nice sermon. I hear that all the time. That was a nice service, a nice sermon. And we could sum it up this way. It was delivered by a nice guy who had some nice applications, and everything about the service was that day, well, it was nice. And within a few minutes after the service, it was all nicely forgotten. Everything was just great, but there was no demonstration of power, nothing life-changing, nothing to go and talk about. Nothing they learned that so impacted their hearts that they can't help but want to talk about it to someone else. All that was generally remembered when asked was that the message was down to earth, easy to listen to, and the minister was particularly witty that Sunday. Now, nothing about this comports to the apostolic preaching demonstrated in the New Testament. Now, as a side note, this is in no way suggesting that preaching should divulge into yelling and controlling manipulation. I have heard that approach also, and such preaching is of the worst of abuses. What I'm suggesting today is that preaching done in the demonstration of the Spirit and power has a notable authority contrary to the kind of speaking that appeals to the flesh. In other words, it's plainly evident that the message is otherworldly. It's delivered with the authority appropriate to its place of origin. True preaching must drive us to a response, my friends, in every sermon. It must so expose our conscience and the secret sins of our hearts that we're not left in a neutral state. This kind of preaching confronts us in the searching power of the law of God, exposing the offensive ways within us and our propensity to silence, Psalm 51, and in turn casts us upon the mercies and delivering power of Christ in the gospel. If this is foreign in a given sermon, then the preacher has compromised the very nature of his calling. Nice preachers with a nice message result in a nice church with a bunch of nicely unconverted churchgoers. So this is the point today. Preaching should be plain and powerful, that every time you've heard it, you recognize it is a message from heaven given by Christ himself to the salvation of your soul. Join us for worship this Sunday at the Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times. The website is lindenurc.com. So thankful you've tuned in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.